Thanks, Adam. It was actually for some pizza. I owed him money for pizza. We had a good time Friday night. Ooh, did you hear my voice crack? That was a good one. Is everything on?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'd like to greet each and every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All those who are live streaming, my daughter, my wife at home, Eric, hello. Many of the kids have been sick, and it's been rough. And I feel really bad for the sickness that has been going around. I know our families have been all seeing it and hearing about it. It's been posted, and you know, it's comforting to know that there's people out there praying for each and every one of us and for our kids and for our families. It's a great thing to be able to be a part of and to know that the Lord oversees His children and comforts them in their times of need. So I would ask that you would have continued prayers for these kids that are undergoing this sickness that's going around. I'm thankful that our sister Pat is here today, and she's been struggling as well, so we're excited to see her here. And also, you know, it's been a struggling week for me as far as life goes. I've had a lot of things on my mind, and we have a upcoming business meeting. We have some important things to talk about, so I've been thinking about a lot of things and pondering a lot of things. But you know, every day I kind of have my routine as far as seeing what's going on out there in the world and with my brothers and sisters on Facebook. And I'm excited because I always am grateful for the uplifting I get from people's posts and to be able to read things that they put on there and how they've been blessed and how it can encourage us in this day in which we live. And so I was on Facebook, and I believe it was our sister Liza Hedrick that had put a post on there. It was about Psalm 23, and it was anointing the sheep. The shepherd would do this. And I wanted to thank her for that because, you know, it just really seems that certain things are given to us at certain times. I don't think it's a coincidence by any means, but the Lord lifts us up. You know, deep inside, we all have our battles that we're going through. We all have our trials. We all struggle with things. And this really came at a good time because, you know, I've been struggling with some things, and I do day by day, and I try not to let things get the best of me, but sometimes, you know, those little things can compound and get bigger and bigger and be more and more difficult to deal with. But I wanted to start with this because this really kind of gave me a good opportunity to be able to think about these things, who we are as God's people, we're His sheep, and you know, how the shepherds took care of the flock and how the Lord takes care of us. And it's always uplifting to me to know that through all these times that we go through and through all the situations that we can encounter, that the Lord's there and He's overwatching us and He's got us in the hollow of His hand. So it starts off, I'm just going to read this. We've all read Psalm 23, but I just think it's appropriate. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so, you know, in reading this, I really appreciated this post that Liza put on there. And I was, you know, it struck my curiosity. I wanted to see, you know, I wanted to look into it a little bit more and find out why exactly did the shepherd do these things to the sheep. He wanted to take care of them, obviously. But what was the main purpose behind it? Well, there was a few good reasons why they did it, and I'm not going to go through every detail of one of the reasons of why and all the explanations for it. But I did pick one in particular. I thought that was something that I wanted to share. And you know, these little things that get to us day in and day out, it could be kind of similar to our own lives, the things that get to us day in and day out. And you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is these little things that bother us, that bug us on a daily basis, and how it can really grow into something bigger. And so one of the reasons why they used to do this, and they still probably practice it, is to be able to keep pests off of the sheep. You know, there's all kinds of things in nature that can cause all kinds of trouble to a flock, to a herd, that can have a detrimental effect on the value of them, their health, their well-being, their offspring, and even their own personal lives. And same it is with us, you know, in the lives that we live. You know, these things that can get into our lives, into our mind, and have, you know, a really small seemingly effect on us at first, but how we can let it fester, how we can let it grow, how we can let it stew within us, and how it could cause to lead us to something a lot bigger than, rather than coming to the Lord and seeking for His advice for us how to take care of it and for it to be able to be taken care of. And so I wanted to start off, and I'm going to just, there's some pests, I guess you would say, that I'm going to bring up on the next slide. So we're all familiar with them, two of them anyway. And I got some information that I pulled off the internet as well. And it says here, these pests, the tick, the mite, and a ked, it's a sheep's ked. They are particularly susceptible to pests landing on their noses, the sheep are. So the shepherd pours oil on the sheep's nose and the flies slide out instead of flying in. So one of the pests, I don't have it on here yet, it's on the next slide. There's all different kinds that sheep can encounter in the wilderness. The tick, obviously we've all probably been there, had that happen to us at a time or two. A mite, a ked, all these can be detrimental to the sheep's health. They can cause big issues, you know, they can cause a lot of pain, they can cause a lot of harm to the animal, they can cause infection, they can cause the animal to really struggle in their lives. And the same it is with us. You know, those things that we have going on in our lives, you know, if we let them fester within us, we can let them eat away at us. We can let them cause that kind of harm to us. And we need to be, you know, aware of those things that we have going on. We need to be aware that if we come to the Lord, our shepherd, that He can take care of those things for us, those pests, those nuisances in our lives. And so one of the things that I had mentioned here in this comment is it's called a sheep nose bot fly. And there is a picture of it right there. There were some pictures to follow up, but I did not include them in this because it can get pretty disgusting, so to speak. But these are the flies that I was talking about in the previous slide to kind of segue into this one. This is a fly that, you know, it's basically in the fields and it can get into the nose cavity of a sheep and it'll hatch its larva in there. And then those larvae, they make their way up the nose cavity and it causes all kinds of issues. You know, we see here that the sheep, they may start to shake their head, stamp their feet, snort and push their noses into the dust or between other animals or even run away. They cause severe inflammation. The fly itself can actually get all the way up and so far into the sinus cavity that it starts causing enough pain in the sheep that it would actually start beating its head against a rock. And that's something that, you know, the sheep is suffering. It's having a hard time. It's so distraught with pain that it's doing these things. It's causing harm upon itself. And I think that, you know, with some of these things that we deal with in life, you know, these small things that can grow big can have the same effect on us. You know, it's very stressful at work at times and dealing with individuals. It could be difficult and, you know, in situations where they're not unfolding that the way that you expected them to unfold and things aren't working out as the way that you planned it or wanted it to work out, can be very difficult to deal with. And a lot of times we know that City government can have a lot of bureaucracy. It can take a long time to do something very simple. And those are some of the things that really bother me, because, you know, one of the things I look out for is the safety and the preservation of my staff and its employees. I look towards the capability to be able to make a better working environment, make it more streamlined. And with the bureaucracy that we deal with a lot of times, it gets very frustrating. These are the little things in my life. And I have a coworker that I work with. His name's Pete, and he's new to the city. He comes from the military. And boy, he's in my office quite a bit talking about, you know, all the things that we deal with. And it's, you know, very frustrating to him as well, because it's so new. And, you know, one of the things we joke about is that, you know, when we got to do something and put in an order for it, put in a work request for it, is that we need to order a bang your head here kit that comes along with it. And because of just the sheer difficulty that it takes to be able to get something done. An example of that is Jesse knows all about this. We've been struggling with being able to provide parts to the technicians for quite some time now. We have a whole new procurement system, and I've been tasked with a project of being able to get those parts expedited to the technicians that much quicker. And it's been a 2-year-long process. And finally this week, I got some relief, because the director of our airport signed off on, it's called a determination memo, and we develop a contract, and he signed off on it. So it can go downtown and go to city council and get approved. I was ecstatic about that, but the whole process of that really has been difficult for me, because I know, coming from those positions, that, you know, I need these parts now. I need to be able to get this equipment back out into service as fast as possible. But, you know, in knowing that, you know, constant prayer, prayers have been answered. It's taken 2 years. It's been a long time. It's been a struggle. I get a lot of questions. I get a lot of tension, a lot of frustration when it comes to stuff like that, you know, and I can imagine, just like a sheep, you know, dealing with this. It's really not that big of a deal at first. It seems like, you know, it's nothing that's really going to bother me too much. But over time, these things can really eat at you and can really work upon you and your mind and affect you physically. It could affect you spiritually as well. And I rejoice in knowing that, you know, through what God has provided, the capabilities that He gives us, we have that ability to overcome. We have that ability to know that He can take these things away from us, these nuisances in our lives. And so I give glory to God for that. But we got to also understand that, you know, the environment that we live in, these are going to be constant, just like in the wilderness, you know. Constantly there's all kinds of things. I'm sure the gentlemen that are in Africa, you know, they have to get their shots. They're dealing with all kinds of diseases, all kinds of things that could harm them physically. But if we're aware of our surroundings, if we're aware of our environment, those things that can harm us, that we can prepare for that. We know that the Lord gives us the tools and the instruments to be able to go forth in this world in which we live, and to have the ability to be able to overcome those things that will be detrimental to our health. I'm going to go to the next slide here. And speaking of our environment, the world that we live in, you know, here's another little tidbit. It says sheep live outdoors with barbed fences, thistles, rocks, sticks, predators. It's not a kind, gentle setting. Even the greenest pastures have hazards, so shepherds check their sheep daily, sometimes morning and evening, to look for wounds and that need attention. And, you know, this environment that we live in, we know that there's all kinds of dangers out there. We know that these dangers can cause harm to us. But the Lord has the ability to keep us away from those things, to keep us within His arm's reach, and to help us be able to know and to have those things out there as part of our awareness. You know, these places that we go and these places that we shouldn't go, you know, the Lord's there. He's calling us back when we're going places that we're not supposed to be going. You know, a lot of times You know, I believe that when we came back from camp, I showed a slide about it was a couple vehicles that were about to drive off a cliff. You know, if we knew that we were going to go there and that's where we were going to end up, you know, would we actually do it? You know, but it's a thing that we have in our lives that sometimes, you know, we go off the deep end. Whether it's, you know, physically, if it's something that we're engaged in with the wrong crowd, if it's something that, you know, we slide down into because, you know, we just happen to do the wrong thing, which led to something else, which led to something else. It compiled and it compounded and it got worse and worse. You know, those are the things that in our environment we need to know that they're out there, that we need to be aware of. You know, that wolf there, you know, very dangerous things that are ready to devour us. I thought it was interesting with the barbed wire fence, you know, a lot of different areas, even in Arizona, you go out into the middle of the desert and you see barbed wire fence all along down the highway, and it's to be able to keep the cattle from wandering onto the roads and getting hit, because, you know, even they tend to wander off and don't know the hazards that are coming down the road. And so we need to be aware of that as well. We need to be aware of those hazards. And some of the article that I read as well, that those animals, the sheep, that the shepherds would tend to, they would have cuts and wounds from barbed wire fences, all kinds of interesting stuff that you see animals get themselves into. I didn't want to include any of the pictures on here, but man, some of them are very disturbing, and it's just because animals aren't aware, some animals aren't aware of the dangers that they get themselves involved in. But the oil would also be used to help mend those wounds, to help keep those parasites, those bugs, you know, maggots, flies, all that stuff out of there. The thistles, I think a lot of us know what thistles are and have experienced that. And, you know, there's actually a lot of pretty flowers that go along with thistles, you know, so it can strike curiosity. But I've been up at the ranch personally, up there wandering through the walnut patch and up Walnut and going through the field there, the patch there, and boy, there's been some thistles up there, and you get your, if you're wearing shorts, boy, it's not in a very comfortable situation. And, you know, we ourselves can find ourselves very comfortable at one point in our lives, but very quickly can find ourselves in very uncomfortable positions. And we need to be aware of that. We need to use those tools that the Lord gave us, those senses that He gave us. And that's what I'm going to talk about next, is because, you know, all these animals have very keen senses. You know, wolves, sheep, they use those. Those are their tools. Those are their tools to find their prey, and those are their tools to be used it with protection. And so it says here, senses are the tools that animals use to interact with the environment. You know, the sight, smell, taste, sound, you know, all these need to be in their top condition, and they need to be excellent to ensure their survival. I'm trying to go off of my own and say my own thing, but it speaks for itself. One of the things I found out about sheep is they actually have rectangular pupils. Those rectangular pupils and their eyes being positioned more to the side of their head give them almost a complete 360 degree field of view. And that's so they can see pretty much all around them. Really interesting fact, but you know, these sheep, they need to be aware. The shepherd needs to be aware of where their sheep are at. I think that our brother Gordon did a sermon similar to this about the call of the shepherd. The sheep know their voice. I got into that and I started reading all that. But I know that our brother covered that, and it was really interesting because even the shepherd and all the things that happen will encounter danger. You know, danger isn't something that you go and seek. A lot of times it comes and it seeks you, just like a wolf would seek after that sheep. Can happen when you least expect it. It can happen at any given moment. But, you know, if we have the Lord with us, if we have those senses to know that we need to reach out to Him, He can help us be able to see, give us that complete view of what's going on in our lives, you know, within our families, with our friends, with our work environment, with our school environment. He gives us those senses to be able to exercise and to know what we can see coming, to be aware of things. But the shepherds, you know, it's a very important thing that my brother here was just telling me that, you know, in your Sunday school class, I was teaching mine, so I wasn't here, but how, you know, we all have that responsibility to be able to put out that light for God. It's not just the ministry. It's not just the elders. It's not just the pastor. Brother Joel was speaking towards that. It's everybody's responsibility. In one way or another, we oversee our own little flocks, and within our families especially, you know, with our kids and our loved ones. You know, my daughter was, and my son were really pretty tore up with this sickness that they had with the hand, foot, and mouth disease, and how it was breaking out on them and how they were in pain. And, you know, I was asking my wife, is there anything else that we can do? And it's just, you gotta let it take its course. That's what she said. You gotta let it take its course. Okay. But in the meantime, you know, I felt really bad because, you know, I want to do something. I want to fix it. But, you know, calling upon the Lord, it was the key to that. Asking the Lord to be able to be with them and to comfort them through their time of pain is what they needed. But, you know, in James chapter 5, it says here, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. So that oil was given to us as well. And in reference to that Facebook, I understand and I believe that the oil is symbolic to the outpouring of the Lord's Spirit. And it's something that we need to understand that it's detrimental for us to get our wounds tended to come to the Lord for those things that in a temporal world can't fix. It's things within us that the Lord works within our heart, within our mind, increases our senses of those things that we should do to help those things heal, to mend. And through him, we can call upon him. We can ask him to be able to help us through those difficult times, and he will be there for us. And it also says in verses 1 through 3 in James chapter 5, I should have flipped it, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, that be me, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over the heritage, but being in samples to the flock. You know, and we have that responsibility as well. I'm not trying to get us out of anything, but, you know, that is important for us as well, to be able to do those things that would be appropriate for the body of Christ. One of the things that I'm hoping and that all of you can attend is to be able to have better fellowship with one another, be able to have opportunities to be able to come and not just come and hear the Word of God, but come and be a part of something bigger, because it's really neat when you see people come to activities that participate and to have fellowship outside of these four walls. That's why, as the pastor, I wanted to be able to increase that, is to be able to see us come together. And I know that when we do, relationships grow. People get to know each other better. We get to spend more time with each other. It's important. It's vital to this local. It's vital to the church. It's detrimental to our safety as far as Christianity goes, to our beliefs, that we all are on the same page. At work, you know, one of the things that I've been trying to do and be a better person at is making sure that everybody knows what the big picture is. Everybody knows what the goal is. I just got done. Oh, I got 1 hour left, and not for preaching. I got 1 hour left on the book of Brother Andy, you know, in a conversation with him. Led me to the book. Oh, boy. What is it called again, Andy? I got it. It's the tactical one with the Navy SEALs. Extreme Ownership. Thank you. I'm just a little nervous, so it kind of left my mind, but this Extreme Ownership book is really interesting, and it talks about, as being a leader, making sure everybody's on the same page, making sure everybody knows what's going on. So not only yourself do you have ownership, but you could pass that ownership on to others. And so others can lead at their level. And it really helps the overall process of whatever project, principle, or application you apply it to. It's a very good book, and I've really been trying to exercise that, getting everybody on the same page, because I know that that's one of my faults, is I see this thing and I know how to get there, but I don't have the good vocabulary skills to be able to share that with others to help them there. But, you know, us, we need to develop those things. We constantly need to be changing and making sure that we're understanding what the direction is that we're going. And as a pastor, that's one of the things I wanted to share with you, is I hope and I desire that we have better fellowship here, more fellowship. And so we've been trying to do these activities. You know, we had a very good conversation this morning, and we had an enjoyable time Friday night. So meetings in the morning, gatherings here at the church. You know, if there's anything that you want to do, feel free to come and talk to me, talk to Adam, talk to Aaron, and we can put something together to help that happen. But it's overall good for the flock. And then I'm going to go to the next slide here. And it says here in the flocking behavior, sheep are best known for their strong flocking, herding, and following instinct. They will run from what frightens them, and they will band together in large groups for protection. This is the only protection that they have from predators. This is safety in numbers. It is harder for a predator to pick up a sheep out of a group than to go after a few strays. And then I got to have in Moroni chapter 6, and the church did meet together oft, and to fast and to pray and to speak one another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and the wine in remembrance of their Lord Jesus. You know, we meet together often. And as far as what I can try to promote is the more the merrier. I think that with this local here in this community, we have Jared and Katie moving into the neighborhood. The more that we can have people closer together, the better that we can look after one another. The stronger as a group that we are, you know, let the community know that we're here. Let them know that they are more than welcome to come. We have that safety in numbers. We have that opportunity to grow and to be a stronger flock, and to be able to know that the Lord's will is being done in our lives, that we can be a light for Him and bring more people into the church. And so in Matthew chapter 9, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." You know, it's such a big world we live in, but then again, it's such a small world. We have an opportunity to be able to be a laborer for the Lord. You know, all of us on a different level. All of us take that ownership that, as being a Christian, we're called to do. As we were baptized, as being a light for God, you know, take that ownership and run with it. You know, show others the way, lead the path, show them the safety, show them the love and the compassion that the Lord has for His sheep, for His children. It's truly a blessing that we know that the Lord is there overseeing us at all times. In times of darkness, in times of trouble, in times of difficulty, you know, when these little things are getting to us, it's so important that we understand that the Lord is there with us, and He gives us the strength and the courage to be able to overcome. And so with that, it's socializing. And I got a few comments here. Sheep are very social animal in grazing situation. They need to see other sheep. In fact, ensuring that sheep always have visual contact with other sheep will prevent excess stress when moving, handling, or housing them. They also have an excellent memory, probably better than me. They can remember individual sheep and humans for years. And I looked up, I got all the references, well, some of the references at the end here, but I looked up, you know, these socializing and looked up some things that not socializing can have an effect on you. But the positive things out of it is that when you actually interact with other people, it helps you be able to be more physically sound. It helps you live longer. You'll get a better physical health. Oops, sorry. I gotta go down to my notes here. It says you enjoy a better mental health. Interacting with other boasts feelings of well-being and decreases feelings of depression. Research has shown that one sure way of improving your mood is to work on building social connections. You can lower your risk of dementia, you know, for the elderly. It's a very good thing that we continue to have our elderly come together. And I believe our sister Karen is putting things together for them to be able to do that. It's good that we know socializing is part of this church. It's part of what we do. And it's important on how we interact with each other. And, you know, I understand that in all situations, not everything's perfect in that, you know, we can butt heads sometimes. And so I got a couple slides in regards to that. And it's in headbutting. Sheep will butt heads with one another to gain position and assert authority. Male sheep especially like to butt heads. But in people, we all do that, don't we? You know, that's something that's our that's human nature. That's our attributes. A shepherd knows his sheep will clash sometimes, and he can prevent it, so he puts oil and grease on their heads when they clash. Their heads glance off without doing so much harm one to another. And I was thinking about that and kind of laughing at that because, you know, I could just see us all going around with a bunch of oil and grease all over our heads, you know. Here, you need some of that. Here, let me squirt that on your head there. But, you know, we have the Lord to be able to mitigate those issues that we have with one another. That's my point here, is that, you know, this is a body of Christ. We know that there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be struggles in our communication, our skills in doing so. Walls can be put up, but walls can be torn down at the same time. In the end, you know, we all love one another. We're all brothers and sisters in the gospel, and it's important that we show that and that we share that, that we mend those wounds, that we have God in our lives, that Spirit of God. You know, just as the oil for these sheep is, you know, the Lord's Spirit for us will do the same thing. We can overcome that. We just have to make sure that we're humble before Him and we're meek and we're lowly. Matthew chapter 5, it says here, 22 through 24. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thee thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. It's important that we do that, that we mend those relationships. Even if we have butted heads, mend those relationships that we have. You know, we go through this day-by-day process of what we do, but we know that with a clear conscience, with a healthy mind, with these small things that can get into us and grow and can fester, how that could be detrimental to us. But if we take care of those things, and if we make sure that we mend those relationships, we'll have a much more happier life, we'll have a healthier life, not only physically, but spiritually as well. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And so, you know, this all has an effect on our emotions. Sheep know how we feel. You know, I believe my dog knows how I feel. You know, my dog knows when I'm angry. You know, that dog, it'll stay away from Dad. He's not in a good mood right now. But sheep too, you know, I never really gave this thought. Sheep display emotions, some of which can be studied and observed, but the position of their ears, kind of like a dog. They also display and recognize emotion by facial expressions, you know. How we approach one another, you know, facial expression is, you know, our first impression, how somebody walks up to us, how somebody talks to us. you know, just, I guess sheep recognize that as well. So, you know, if anybody walks up to you like that, you know, you could probably, that's your pastor at his best. Had to do it. But, you know, it's important. Our emotions are important. It's difficult sometimes, and sometimes we wear them on our sleeves. And it's also enjoying sometimes. And that's what I want all of us to see this day, is the joy that the Lord brings in our hearts because of the emotions that we have, because of the love that the Lord gave us. You know, He gave us His Son to watch over us. He watches over us. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we can have angers and frustrations in, but at the same time, you know, we can look at the silver lining on the cloud, and that we can, you know, let our emotions get the best of us, or we could get the best of our emotions and put them in place and be able to share those things in a right and a meaningful way. That's going to help us grow as God's children, as His sheep. John chapter 10, 9 through 11. We know that Christ, He is the door, I am the door. But me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, we know that Christ gave his life for us. We know that he might put up fences. He might do things that we don't completely understand why, but he's doing it because of the love that he has for us. He's teaching us lessons. He gives us direction. He gives us each other. He gives us emotions. He gives us the ability to be able to speak, to be able to praise his name, to be able to, he gives us his grace to be able to walk in. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you see what the Lord gives and what he provides. And part of that is us also sharing that with others. And so I hope that each and every one of you can take that upon yourself to put the effort towards that. You know, as God's children, you know, go in that direction. Let him lead you. Let him show you the way. And, you know, I wanted to bring this up again, that he is our shepherd. You know, as much as I want some things, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the hill, the still waters. Gives us that peace. That's the peace. You know, we had an opportunity to be able to go up to the ranch, and I really enjoyed it. There is a lot of chaos that we deal with every day. And just to be able to go up there and to be in God's creation and to be at peace is a comforting thing. So I'm going to do that again on the 19th and 20th. I'm going to go fishing. But I really appreciate where the Lord leads us. I see people in their testimonies and the glory being given to him is definitely something that he can do. He can heal us. He can restore our soul. He can lead us back on the right path for Christ's sake. And, you know, through all these dark times, through all these difficult times, he's going to be there with that rod and staff protecting us, beating off those things that can beat us down, defending our spiritual life, our soul. You know, he's there for us when that happens. And, you know, it's kind of like when a child is in a difficult situation and their father comes up and protects them from whatever the danger is, how they're comforted by that. Same it is with us. And so, you know, he prepares us a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You know, that's important to remember, that if we call out to the Lord, if we desire to have him in our lives, he will pour himself out with great abundance in our lives. It'll show. It'll be something that everybody will see. You'll be that light. And it says here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me in the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, that's important that I think we understand that His mercy is upon us all the days of our life. And if we let Him lead the way, He'll show us to that house, that mansion that He has prepared for us. So may God's mercy be upon you. And I would hope and I desire that each and every one of you in your lives continue to follow after that good shepherd and to lead each other or others to be able to see and to know of His goodness, that they may be part of His flock. Thank you.